Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family. Rocket can.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Let's get this show on the road. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I am your host extraordinaire, Cole Thompson. You can follow me on social media at Mr. Cole Thompson. We got Michael Hernandez producing on the other side of the glass, and we got a great hour ahead. 2-minute warning coming up in roughly about 7 minutes itself, so we got some stuff going on there. College football takeaways, why the AP poll needs to be resigned at this point, why their opinion does not matter after what I saw on the Week 5 opening lines, and also, maybe it's time to believe in the little guy, because the little guy college football is actually making the biggest impact of anyone else out there. But I start the show off today with this. Somebody told me this past weekend that it was going to be a close game between Washington and Buffalo because Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills offense was struggling, which I have to admit, Josh Allen the first 2 weeks of the season absolutely did not look like Josh Allen of yesteryear. He did not feel like the Josh Allen we saw of 2020, the one who was fighting for an MVP. And this was a guy that I said was going to go down to the wire with Matthew Stafford to be the MVP of the league. I think I might be right on something because of yesterday, 4 touchdowns against a defense that everyone said was going to be number one in the NFL, Washington, averaged 8.3 yards per throw, built very nice chemistry with the likes of Emmanuel Sanders, his new number two receiver. Cole Beasley in the slot had another big day. Stephon Diggs, very limited, but he still averaged 10.3 yards per catch. Oh, and by the way, this team is now being able to run the ball. They had 2 running backs finish with over 4.6 yards per play. You also had a rushing touchdown from Allen, 5 total TDs on the day against one of the better defenses in the NFL, quote unquote. This is the part of Overreaction Monday that I talk about all the time. This is the part where I get where Aaron Rodgers maybe has a little bit of an attitude because of we were so directly blunt to give up on Josh Allen this fast. But Josh Allen, the difference between him and Aaron Rodgers was he didn't cause any drama this offseason. He said, if I don't get a contract extension, that's cool. I'll play through my deal. I'm cool with that. I'll just make more money later on. And what's he do? Now, 7 touchdown passes against 1 interception, has a passer rating of over 100, and has the Buffalo Bills sitting at 2-1 on the season. They may honestly be the best team in the AFC going into that Week 5 matchup against Kansas City, but you got to give it up for Josh Allen. He's making his case to the MVP. And he's thriving.
Time for the 2-minute warning around the NFL. No. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day, we go around the NFL with some of the top storylines you might have missed, and we do it quick. That's why we call it 2-minute warning. Michael, start the clock.
Patrick Mahomes might have started the season off on a sour note, but his records alone are impressive. Mahomes became the fastest quarterback in NFL history to pass for 15,000 yards, doing it in his 49th career game. He accomplished the feat on a go-ahead drive in the third quarter on Sunday. Mahomes finished the day with 260 passing yards, bringing his career total to 15,092 yards.
Nobody's going to care because he lost the game, but I mean, let's be real. Patrick Mahomes is, right now, the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't think anybody's doubting that. Maybe not every single season he will be number one in the rankings, number one in passing yards, number one in touchdowns, number one in QBR rating. It just doesn't always happen that way. I mean, think about it. There were years where Peyton Manning had better numbers than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady was still viewed as the better quarterback. There were years that Brett Favre was in the league, and he was viewed as a lesser option because of his interception total. It doesn't matter. Like, talent is talent. And talent-wise, nobody is going to come close to Patrick Mahomes. Him being able to set that record in less than 4 seasons. Because, again, remember, he sat out his entire first year. So he's really only played 3 seasons of NFL football. 1 year he was an MVP. Next year he was a Super Bowl champion. And the next year, he lost the Super Bowl. So he's entering year 4. Really of his NFL career, and he already has 15,000 passing yards. Guy's going to be a future Hall of Famer if he keeps this up, but again, It's always people say, oh, it's about the production or it's about the wins. It's just about the talent itself. If you're good at what you do and if you can play the position at a high-end level, you're fine. It doesn't really matter what you are. That's why I talk about Derek Carr in a positive light all the time. He plays for the Las Vegas Raiders, which, again, have consistently let me and let a lot of people down for years, but he hasn't. Matthew Stafford with the Detroit Lions, been a joke of a franchise for years. He looks good. He's always looked good. If you're good at what you do, nobody's going to care about what your stat line is every single week. But again, if you're talented, it will show through. Patrick Mahomes is very talented. He's easily the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And because of that, it shouldn't shock anybody that he has set the record as fastly as he has.
James White has been a staple of the New England Patriots offense. Now he could be out for quite some time. The running back was carted off the field during the first half of Sunday's 28-13 loss to the Saints after suffering a potential serious hip injury. He was immediately ruled out against the Saints.
Yeah, that's a bad one, because here's the thing. Mac Jones right now has been struggling passing the ball. Like, the team says they're not afraid to go deep with him. My indications say they are. Like, they 100% say, yeah, they're not willing to go deep because of every single pass outside of, like, three have been quick little dump passes, little short slant routes. They've been doing that. And James White has been a very big factor into that. I think he's, like, averaging second most yards per reception at, like, 11.8. Two touchdowns on the year, I think both receiving. And again, his role for Tom Brady for a while was be that third down pass catching back that would keep drives alive. What they're doing in Tampa Bay was they went after James White. He elected to return to Foxborough, so they went and got Giovanni Bernard because if he plays a very similar role. And that's exactly what he's been doing. When you look at what he offers to this team, it's the value of being a pass-catching running back that gives stability to an offense that isn't able to move the ball downfield. And when you look ahead at the schedule, especially with Tampa Bay coming into town next weekend for Sunday Night Football, where Tom Brady is going back home to Foxborough, losing a key piece like James White for a significant amount of time is something that isn't fun for any team, but it's really not fun for New England. It's going to hurt their passing attack. It's going to hurt their offensive approach. And it's going to be something that I think people need to pay attention to moving forward, for sure. Right now, I won't say that New England is kind of dead, but they haven't been able to run the ball as consistently as I wanted them to, and the passing attack is all but obsolete at this point. So when I look at the Patriots, they're in a little bit of hot water, and Mac Jones, his rookie season, may be coming out with mixed reviews by the end.
Remember when the Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase suffered a preseason of yips trying to catch the football? That's over, and he's thriving. Chase, who was selected number 5th overall in the 2021 NFL Draft, finished with 4 catches for 65 yards and a pair of touchdowns in a 24-10 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, Ja'Marr came to me before that play, and he's like, just throw it up to me. Just throw it. So I was like, okay, I'll just throw it up, and he went and got it. So that's what happened on that one.
Again, it's one of those things where, you know, you look at the preseason expectations that people think preseason will translate over to the NFL. Remember how I said that there was going to be a superstar named Ramondre Stevenson for the New England Patriots backfield? Well, he's either been inactive or has negative rushing yards so far in the NFL. So it's not like that preseason matters that much. You wanted to see Ja'Marr Chase show what he was able to show at LSU during the preseason, but that didn't mean that he wasn't going to be successful. Having the rapport and the chemistry that he already had with Joe Burrow coming into the league really, I think, benefited him. And I'm not sure he would have had as hot as a start as he has without the likes of going to Cincinnati. So you have to like that. The other thing I will say, Jackson Carmen made his NFL first start at right guard. Did not allow a single pressure to the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive line. Looked really consistent at that left guard position, which could be very beneficial to what they're trying to do in Cincinnati protecting Joe Burrow. And again, the Bengals now have 2 wins on the year. They're tied for first place with the Baltimore Ravens and with the Cleveland Browns for the AFC North Division. And a lot of that has to do with Joe Burrow being able to pass the ball. It's nice that he has a good chemistry with Tyler Boyd in the slot. It's nice that he wants to get T. Higgins involved. But when you use a number 5 pick on a wide receiver, you expect top 5 results from this guy. So far, the chemistry between these two is magical, it's elite, and it's something to pay attention to moving forward. Having a stable number one wide receiver is so helpful to any young quarterback. And the fact that these two have worked together during their time in college, set records during that 2019 season at LSU, became a 1-2 tandem that tore up the college football realm, and now is doing it inside of the NFL level. I'm not here to say that Joe Burrow should have a stock in the team because, again, he's a player and we've seen how that goes, but he was right to go ahead and say, hey, go get Ja'Marr Chase because watch what will happen. So far, I've liked the results. That doesn't mean I don't think they need to go get an offensive lineman, but I can't deny I do like the results I'm seeing from these two in Houdet Nation.
Is it time to believe in the Las Vegas Raiders? Although the Miami Dolphins were playing without QB Tua Tagovailoa, the game was forced into overtime. Derek Carr would lead a drive down the field to set up a game-winning field goal from Daniel Carlson to give the Raiders their first 3-0 start since 2002. That season, they went to the Super Bowl to face off against John Gruden and the Buccaneers. Could this be the year they go?
Good snap, good hold. Jackpot, baby! The Raiders become the first team in history of the NFL to win their first three games against teams that all won at least 10 games the previous season. 31-28. Bring on the Chargers.
Next weekend's game against Los Angeles is going to be really, really exciting. It's going to be something that I am very pumped to watch. But I will say, should we believe in the Raiders? No. Not yet. And I know what you're saying, but they're 3-0. Just win, baby, is the title. Just win is the slogan. Just win, win. Okay, well, they won against Jacoby Brissett. They didn't win against Tua Tagovailoa, and the game had to go to overtime. Jacoby Brissett did not have a single touchdown, and the game had to go to overtime. They had one interception. It was a pick six by Landon Roberts in the first half, and they scored, what was it? They scored two rushing touchdowns, and I believe they got three rushing touchdowns. My bad. I was completely wrong on that. Oh, by the way, that last touchdown was on the very last second, by the way. It was on a Jacoby Brissett two-yard run to send the game in overtime. Your defense still is not good. And by the way, what was the one thing I said? This was the worst pass rush consistently in the NFL. Max Crosby is good, but the pass rush in Las Vegas is terrible. The good news was that the offensive line for Miami was terrible. Two sacks on the day. Two total sacks on the day. One coming from, let's see, was it Max Crosby? No, it was Casey Hayward, and the other one, no, it wasn't Casey Hayward. Who was it? It was Quentin Jefferson, and it was Solomon Thomas. No sacks from Max Crosby. Two total sacks against this offensive line. Should have been like six. Should have been like eight. Should have been like 10. That's how bad this offensive line is. If you beat L.A. next week, if you can beat L.A., and I believe the game is in Los Angeles. It is. If you can beat L.A. and you're 4-0, maybe I'll start believing in you. Maybe I'll start to believe in the Raiders. I believe in Derek Carr. I actually really thought Henry Ruggs had a great game yesterday as that number one wide receiver. What you want to see, Bryan Edwards, another really solid game from him. Averaged 29.7 yards per play. Gotta like it. But you got to be able to play more consistent football. Defensively, you have got to get better. And the fact that Jacoby Brissett had to take you into overtime to run down the clock to get the win, you're a 3-0 team, but you're a 3-0 team that I don't believe in. You're still a pretender. Beat up on the Chargers next week after they got a monumental win over Kansas City, and I'll believe in you. Just win, baby. Just win against a good team, and then I'll consider you as a really good competitor. There you have it. 2-minute warning right here on Just Saying It.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
O'Reilly Auto Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much battery your car has left? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. The professional parts people will test your battery free of charge. And if it does need to be replaced, they'll even find you the right battery that fits your car. Superstart batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So again, sometimes scheme fit matters. Location changes matters. So this is on Friday morning. Sam Darnold is probably about a Kirk Cousins-like quarterback. He probably is a guy who can win you games, get you to the playoffs, maybe not be the elite factor, but he's consistent enough to make sure that you will be walking away with the opportunity to win a Super Bowl on the right roster. Definitely can lead you to the playoffs, can't lead you to the Super Bowl without help, but can lead you to the postseason. Matthew Stafford was always an elite quarterback, in my opinion. I don't know why people ever thought he wasn't. Oh, wait, yes, I do, because he played for Detroit, the lowly Detroit Lions, who in 3 years that they went to the postseason with Stafford as their quarterback went 0-3, who during his 12 years there never were a legitimate competitor. I think they had one 10-win season. Oh, by the way, he set records, was consistently throwing for over 4,000 yards, was consistently throwing for over 20 touchdowns a season, and was the lone bright spot in the Motor City. The team tried to build around him. It worked a little bit. It didn't completely. And it ultimately backfired. So what do? You pair him with Sean McVay, and things are magical. That's the only way to put it. Things are legitimately magical right now in L.A. You don't have to worry about anyone playing underneath the lights and wondering, is it too big of a step? Is it too big of a platform? 3 wins this year. One on Sunday Night Football, one the NFL Game of the Week, one against the Indianapolis Colts, which has a top five defense. 35 points, 27 points, 34 points. Oh, and by the way, the Game of the Week was against Tom Brady and the defending world champions in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What did Matt Stafford do? I want to know. Only threw for 343 yards, four touchdowns, was sacked once, had a QBR rating of 89.6, near flawless, and 134 passer rating. Averaged 9.8 yards per throw. Yeah, did that pretty well. Did it without his number one running back in Daryl Henderson. Really, I guess number two because of Cam Akers would have been the number one. Had five different receivers go for over 40 yards on the afternoon. Had six different receivers go for over 30 yards on the afternoon. Two touchdown passes to Cooper Kupp. They're building a nice rapport and helping me win my fantasy league on ease. DeSean Jackson showed off why he is still a speedster vertical threat despite being 36 years old and one of the more dangerous receivers 20-plus yards downfield. Oh, and the defense pressured Tom Brady. The defense did a pretty good job of making Tom Brady feel uncomfortable with three total sacks in the afternoon. He finished with a passer, a QBR rating of 64 and 432 yards. Still had a good game passing, but again, only found the end zone once. So at the start of the year, believe in two teams, Tampa Bay and the Rams. I believe that we witnessed a Super Bowl NFC matchup. This is what we're going to see either in Raymond James Stadium or back here at Englewood. We're going to see this game again come January. We're going to see this game come back into the picture. And it's going to be magical. These are the two teams to beat. Tom Brady, the seven-time GOAT, the Super Bowl champion galore, record holder of everything, and Matthew Stafford, guy who has all the intangibles, all the tools, all the mechanics, all the frames, everything that you look for in a QB1 franchise guy, but played for a terrible franchise, gets his opportunity. If you put Matthew Stafford on one of these other teams, say, let's put him on the Texans. Let's say we put him on the Washington football team last year. Say we put him on, let's go Miami. Let's just go Miami Dolphins last year. Are they not in the postseason? More importantly, if they're in the postseason, are they not a contender for the Super Bowl? Because those rosters were great with insufficient quarterback play. Washington went 7-9 with four different quarterbacks. You had Miami go 10 wins with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua. Make an argument, Carolina. Carolina went 6-10 last year. Probably would have gone 9-7, 10-6, made the postseason. Probably would have been able to get there. Matthew Stafford played for a lowly Detroit Lions franchise that never spent money the way they were supposed to. Now he's getting treated good. You know, Jamal Williams talking about how the Green Bay Packers didn't want him, so he got picked up by the Detroit Lions. They feed him mid-dinner. They're taking me out, making me feel sweet, like all that. Yeah, well, Detroit did that by sending Matthew Stafford to L.A. Now, Matthew Stafford is being treated the way he should be by a franchise that felt like they were a quarterback away, as Jared Goff was holding them back, despite winning 41 games with Sean McVay. The sad reality is that even though I had disbelief when I found out that Matthew Stafford was getting traded to L.A. for Jared Goff, when I heard that, I lost my mind. Because Jared Goff had 41 wins. Jared Goff cannot do what Matthew Stafford has done. Jared Goff cannot play at the same level Matthew Stafford has thus far in the NFL. Jared Goff could not do what he's been doing this season. And it's a big reason why the Rams are legitimate NFC contenders. And in my opinion, the team to beat in the NFC. They did enough defensively underneath new coordinator Raheem Morris. And again, they're making stops against Tom Brady. 434 passing yards. Hey, Michael, if you throw for 500 passing yards in a game, if you throw for almost 500 yards, but you only get to the end zone one time, you get to the end zone once, good game?
Good game.
You say good game.
I say good game.
I say bad game.
Really?
I say, if you can't score, what's the point? If you're settling for field goals and the other team gets, if the other team gets 175 passing yards, five touchdowns, and you get 500 passing yards, and you settle for five field goals and a touchdown, 35 versus 22 is the final score. If your defense does enough to stop you from getting in the end zone and you're settling for field goals or you're having to run the ball, I think it's a very average game. Yeah, you can pass for a ton of yards. But if you cannot get the end zone, then you're in trouble. And that's exactly what Los Angeles did. They kept Tom Brady out of the end zone, and Matthew Stafford only found the end zone. Boom, 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 boom. With ease, without wonder, four touchdowns on the day. It's why I believe Los Angeles is the team to beat. And the Rams right now are looking good. By the way, Sean McVay is a mood, and I want to be that mood every single day. Sean McVay running down the sidelines to hug Deshaun Jackson after that touchdown.
First one.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's a move. I want to be that guy every single day. You want to know who I wouldn't want to be? I would not want to be Matt Nagy this morning because if he is getting his keister reamed by the city of Chicago. And guess what? Deservingly so. Justin Fields enters the game. Justin Fields, the guy who is supposed to be the next can't-miss prospect, finishes 6 of 20 with 68 passing yards, averages 3.4 yards per throw. Bears lose 26-6 to the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Now, I said at the very start of the show, I said last week on Best Bets, I believe that Cleveland would win this game easily. But again, if you don't look at the stat line, because everyone only cares about wins and losses. They really only do. They think wins and losses decide everything. I will give Justin Fields a pass this week for one reason alone. 9. No, I'm not speaking German. I'm saying 9. 9-9-9-9-9. Not the German no, but the yes, 9 sacks on the day. He was sacked 9 times by Cleveland. I don't think I was wrong for saying Andy Dalton needed to start because guess what? With the way this offensive line is playing, he's the sacrificial lamb. Now, don't get me wrong. Justin Fields has to start moving forward because you got to build that confidence up. The last thing you can do is have him go into this game and slowly fall back to QB2 against teams like Detroit and against teams like Las Vegas before you really get that rapport going. That's the last thing you can do. But Justin Fields, I will give him a pass this week. The fact that he was sacked 9 times and Matt Nagy refused to change the offensive game plan shows how inept Nagy is at coaching right now. The Bears are not a good team, but this was not a loss based off Justin Fields. This was on Matt Nagy.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Cole Thompson.
Sometimes the names that we don't consider the most are the ones we need to fear the most. Let me tell you a little story about Sam Pittman. Anybody who knows Sam Pittman understands that he's grunty, he's groovy, and more importantly, he is a man's man. Guy grew up in Oklahoma, big hunter, big kind of old wrestle-tassel type of guy. Exactly what you want in what you would say that old-school football coach. You know how today's society we got to pat our kids on the back and say, good job, everyone gets a trophy, yay, kind of style? That's not Sam Pittman. That's not most college coaches either. And for anyone out there who says, oh, well, you know, they're so hard on each other. Well, get used to it. That's college football. At that point, if you're getting paid to be on the field, you should be living up to a certain standard. That's to say the least. But Sam Pittman has been passed up time and time again for a head coaching job. He was an offensive line coach after leading Hutchinson Community College to 2 10-plus win seasons. He has consistently been a name under the radar that nobody considered. At one point in 2000 and I believe it was 17, when Brett Bielema was fired from Arkansas, he was up for the Arkansas job. Now, when he wasn't hired, the reason why was because of the guy who got hired was Chad Morris. Fun story, Chad Morris was the backup selection for Texas A&M after they fired Kevin Sumlin if they were not able to get Jimbo Fisher. Remember, Jimbo Fisher was still at Florida State at the time. Fisher did not need to come to Texas A&M. He could have stayed at Tallahassee, built his own legacy, been a really good coach there, but instead they got him. Chad Morris instead now goes to Fayetteville. And Sam Pittman stays in Georgia. He's the offensive line coach. How'd that work out for Morris? 0-8 one year, 4 total wins as Arkansas. Stay with me, stay with the program. Yeah, the program gave up on you really fast, buddy. Program gave up on you. And everyone gave up on Sam Pittman. There's a thing that people love, and I love this. I love this channel. SEC Shorts. They used to be owned by AL.com, based in Alabama. But they make fun of like some of the biggest storylines in SEC college football. And they're really funny. But they always do like this thing like the end of the year report cards. And the actor who plays the kid who they do the report cards for Arkansas said, oh, we just hired Sam Pittman. Who? Oh, Sam. I may have made a huge mistake. I think you actually made the best hire that anybody could have made in the last 2 years. It's not because of the Arkansas Razorbacks are top 10 team. It's not because the Arkansas Razorbacks are a team to watch for now and they're really competitive and they're playing solid football in 2021. It's not because they just got a big-time win over both Texas and Texas A&M, two powerhouse programs in the Lone Star State that were humbled in 120 minutes of action. It's because Sam Pittman is the ultimate feel-good story, and Arkansas is the ultimate feel-good story. Brett Bielema was supposed to be this innovative guy for his ground-and-pound game that he was successful with at Wisconsin. He finished above 500 once. Chad Morris led the SMU Mustangs to their first ranking, I think, in 20 years. He had 4 wins in the SEC. Meanwhile, Pittman was ridiculed, berated, and called a dumb hire by a flawed organization that had not won anything of importance since 2012 when Bobby Petrino was fired for his off-the-field incidents. The program had been a laughingstock of the SEC, and thank God Vanderbilt existed, or this would have been the worst program in college football in the best conference in the sport. You go with the under-the-name hire. You go with the guy who brings in a really good offensive coordinator in Kendall Briles, a really good defensive coordinator in Barry Odom, and look at where you are. Not only are you 4-0, but you have 2 top 15 victories over the number 15 and the number 17, respectively, in the country, both from the state of Texas, which people say all the time is is the state you go to for high school football in recruiting. Both wins. You trust that your game works. And that's simple. Ground and pound football, rush the ball 49 times against Texas A&M, had four running backs average over 4 yards per carry, and had two big-time plays. KJ Jefferson, a mobile quarterback. I know people are saying, this one always makes me laugh. Somebody said, I can't believe they're comparing him to Cam Newton. Well, who else do you want him to compare him to? Guy's got a cannon of an arm that's able to take deep shots down the field, as evident with his touchdown pass to Warren Thompson. Guy has excellent image. Treylon Burke. Treylon Burke was the catch, not Warren Thompson. Guy's excellent accuracy. Guy has great vision. And the RPO works immediately because if he's willing to keep the ball and average over 6 yards per run on the season. And you're going to sit here and say, oh, he's not Cam Newton 2.0? Maybe that's a lazy comparison, but it's a pretty dang good one in my opinion. It's one that's at least close. And guess what? Cam Newton won a national title with this type of offense, with the same style of play that KJ Jefferson is showing off. This is a very good Arkansas defense underneath Barry Odom. And if I'm right now looking for a group of five head coach, Odom is at the top of my list. You want to know who else is at the top of my list? Kendall Briles. But naturally, people have to say,
it's little stupid things like Arkansas just proved that these two programs weren't good.
Here's what Pittman had to say after the game.
I don't know what it means to the program. I know that we're 4-0. We beat 15 and beat 7 or 5. And, you know, somebody will figure out that somebody will say, well, Texas A&M ain't any good just because Arkansas beat them. Someone will say Texas ain't any good because Arkansas beat them. But I believe both of them is really good. I think the Razorbacks have a good football team. And so that's how it is.
Sometimes you just have to shut up the critics. Because everybody's their own critic, and everyone has their own opinion.
Yeah, and your team is terrible. Oh, because of the helmet they wear, they're not good.
Stop scouting the helmet and start scouting the talent. Look at what this Arkansas team has done. They've taken down Texas, who, by the way, this past weekend put up 70 points on Texas Tech. Oh, and they beat the number one total defense in the very first 20 minutes of the game. In the first 20 minutes, they go up 17 points. A&M didn't allow a point until the second. I mean, A&M had not allowed a point since the first quarter against the Colorado team. They allowed one touchdown that game. By the way, they've allowed a grand total before that of 17 points on the year. They had 17 points in the first 20 minutes of action. Arkansas football is good, and more importantly, it's good to have a team like this back. The Hogs have done everything right this past time. They went with the guy who fits the culture. They went with the guy who can build the chemistry. And he added guys who are good at their jobs to where if he is going to struggle a little bit at the start, at least they're going to be able to get some wins that they probably shouldn't because of the right coordinators are in the building. Arkansas right now is easily the number three team in the SEC West, which just shows how talented the SEC West is. And you can make a valid argument that games against Ole Miss, games against Georgia, and games against Alabama are now going to get tougher. This is a Georgia team that has not allowed that many points, but their run defense, if they struggle at any moment, they are screwed. Ole Miss, the way that they're running the ball, the way that this team, the Hogs, are running the football, they're going to open up wide running lanes to where they're going to be able to dose all over them. It'll be the highest scoring game we ever see in college football history in the SEC. And Alabama, don't get me started on them. They're beatable. They 100% are beatable. So just consider that every single time. Sam Pittman was not the first hire anywhere. He wasn't the second hire anywhere. He was likely the third or fourth hire. But the third or fourth hire sometimes is the best hire. And it's looking more and more like that Arkansas is going to be a team to beat in the SEC in 2021. Hog football back. And it's a great day to be a Razorback. So, I saw this yesterday, and it made me lose my mind. Absolutely. I could not believe it. After going 2-2 to begin the year with an overtime loss to North Carolina State, Clemson, who has the worst offense in the ACC, averaging 21.6 points per game and under 400 yards per game, is still ranked in the top 25, coming in at number 25. Meanwhile, just to give you a couple of hints and notices, Texas put up 70 points, and their one loss came to a top 10 team. If you don't want to go any further, SMU right now has the number one quarterback in the FBS in passing touchdowns with 20, and they're sitting at 4-0 with the big-time victory over TCU, one of the better teams in the Big 12. And because of that, they're sitting on the outside. Here, let's just go ahead and name some other ones. Maryland, they're 4-0. They're sitting on the outside. If you don't believe me, there's multiple teams. They're sitting at 4-0 undefeated. That look better than most teams, most programs. They're sitting at outside the top 25. Can we just admit that the AP poll doesn't work? The AP poll doesn't matter anymore? This is a Clemson team that offense right now is so inept in doing anything right that you can make an argument that Tony Elliott should be fired as the offensive coordinator instead of promoted to a head coach somewhere. DJ Uiagalelei is definitely not the quarterback we all thought he was going to be, but maybe that's because of offensive execution. Dabo Swinney has shown that he can win with a multitude of players, but he also has shown that when his quarterback is at an elite level, they're in a good spot. Remember when they had Cole something. I think it was Cole Holy.
Cole Thompson?
Nope, it wasn't Cole Thompson. It wasn't me. It was Cole something. But he was the quarterback there last year before Deshaun Watson got into the building. Deshaun Watson took him to two national championships. They won one. After that, there was a little bit of a break. Cole Stout was his name. Cole Stout was his name. After Deshaun Watson, they had Kelly Bryant. Bryant was good, wasn't great. Took him to the college football playoff. They lost. Then they go get Trevor Lawrence, the generational can't-miss number one pick after beating Alabama as a freshman. There's always been this storyline when you look at Clemson. Great quarterback play, great Dabo Swinney, great Clemson Tigers, great team. When they don't have good quarterback play or average quarterback play, very much an average team that's been living off of their name recognition and brand. The other two teams that are ranked inside the top 25 right now are also teams inside the ACC. One is the undefeated Wake Forest, and the other one is NC State. They're coming in at number 24 for beating the number 25 team. Meanwhile, two teams in the state of Texas consistently have gotten wins, and one of those teams, by the way, I might add, just for fun, put up a record-setting day of passing yards, of total yards and points for the first time since 2005. But they're not good enough to be inside the top 25 because they lost to an Arkansas team. Texas, you put in Casey Thompson in that Arkansas game, maybe Arkansas loses that game. Or at least Texas plays close. Texas is a quarterback change away from being a top 10 team in college football right now. But because of the fact that they started Hudson Card in week two against an Arkansas team, which, by the way, the AP voters voted to be a top 10 program for this week because they lost to them. Yeah, they're not good enough to be in the top 25. One loss, Clemson has two. Can we just admit it? Can we just admit that the AP poll doesn't work and it's all based off name recognition, policy, brand? Clemson is not a top 25 team in the country this year. They're not good. They were faking it being a college football playoff contender. And now we're here to say, oh, because of their Clemson, we're going to give them a bye and put them in the top 25. No, you're not selling me on that. That's why I look at my rankings and I go, that's the right four. Because if Clemson is in the top 25 and SMU with the FBS leading quarterback is on the outside looking in, if Maryland with Talia Tagovailoa's success on the outside looking in, and if Texas is on the outside looking in, the AP poll is flawed. It's time to get rid of it. It's time to start believing in only one poll, the college football playoff rankings, because that's the only one that feels kind of fair. And even that one's a little bit flawed. We'll close out just saying it after this.
This is Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every day to close out Just Saying It. Today's final thought. It's not over to the Fat Lady Sings. In life, you can be down in the count and make one last go of it and walk away a winner. You can have one of the worst days of your life, but all you need is one pick-me-up to turn it all around. And if you're the Baltimore Ravens, you don't wait for the Fat Lady to sing. You wait for your opera-singing kicker to enter the field well beyond the 60-yard mark, which is an NFL record, and try to get the kick of a lifetime.
A 66-yard field goal try for Justin Tucker. It would be the longest in NFL history if it's good. A 66-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It is
good!
Crossbar, and it tumbles through. It is good! Time has expired. Justin Tucker with the longest field goal in NFL history. The hay is in the barn, and it's mayhem on the field.
I hope to one day be as good at something as Justin Tucker is to kicking field goals. In fact, the only player that I could say that is as good as what they do as what Justin Tucker is maybe Patrick Mahomes at making amazing plays throwing the football. Congratulations, Justin Tucker, on the record. All right, that does it for me. I'll be back tomorrow to break down everything we saw on Monday Night Football. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers screwed with Ben Roethlisberger as quarterback and much, much more? See you then. Later!